Homodeus, A Brief History of Tomorrow. A Ripple in the Data Flow. Dataism naturally has its critics and heretics. As we saw previously, it's doubtful whether life can really be reduced to data flows. In particular, at present, we have no idea how or why data flows could produce consciousness and subjective experiences. Maybe we'll have a good explanation in 20 years, but maybe we'll discover that organisms are not algorithms after all. It is equally doubtful whether life boils down to decision-making. Under dataist influence, both the life sciences and the social sciences have become obsessed with decision-making processes as if that's all there is to life. But is it so? Sensations, emotions, and thoughts certainly play an important part in making decisions, but is that their sole meaning? Dataism gains a better and better understanding of decision-making processes, but it might be adopting an increasingly skewed view of life. A critical examination of the dataist dogma is likely to be not only the greatest scientific challenge of the 21st century, but also the most urgent political and economic project. Scholars in the life sciences and social sciences should ask themselves whether we miss anything when we understand life as data processing and decision making. Is there perhaps something in the universe that cannot be reduced to data? Suppose non-conscious algorithms could eventually outperform conscious intelligence in all known data processing tasks. What, if anything, would be lost by replacing conscious intelligence with superior, non-conscious algorithms? Of course, even if dataism is wrong, and organisms are not just algorithms, it won't necessarily prevent dataism from taking over the world. Many previous religions gained enormous popularity and power despite their factual mistakes. If Christianity and communism could do it, why not dataism? Dataism has especially good prospects because it is currently spreading across all scientific disciplines. A unified scientific paradigm may easily become an unassailable dogma. It is very difficult to contest a scientific paradigm, but up till now, no single paradigm was adopted by the entire scientific establishment. Hence, scholars in one field could always import heretical views from outside. But if everyone, from musicologists to biologists, uses the same dataist paradigm, interdisciplinary excursions will serve only to strengthen the paradigm further. Consequently, even if the paradigm is flawed, it would be extremely difficult to resist it. If dataism succeeds in conquering the world, what will happen to us humans? In the beginning, it will probably accelerate the humanist pursuit of health, happiness, and power. Dataism spreads itself by promising to fulfill these humanist aspirations. In order to gain immortality, bliss, and divine powers of creation, we need to process immense amounts of data, far beyond the capacity of the human brain. So the algorithms will do it for us. Yet, once authority shifts from humans to algorithms, the humanist projects may become irrelevant. Once we abandon the homocentric worldview in favor of a data-centric worldview, human health and happiness may seem far less important. Why bother so much about obsolete data processing machines when much better models are already in existence? We are striving to engineer the Internet of all things in the hope that it will make us happy, healthy, and powerful. Yet once the Internet of all things is up and running, we might be reduced from engineers to chips, then to data, and eventually we might dissolve within the data torrent like a clump of earth within a gushing river. Dataism thereby threatens to do to Homo sapiens what Homo sapiens has done to all other animals. In the course of history, humans have created a global network and evaluated everything according to its function within the network. For thousands of years, this boosted human pride and prejudices. Since humans fulfilled the most important functions in the network, it was easy for us to take credit for the network's achievement and to see ourselves as the apex of creation. The lives and experiences of all other animals were undervalued because they fulfilled far less important functions, and whenever an animal ceased to fulfill any function at all, it went extinct. However, once humans lose their functional importance to the network, we will discover that we are not the apex of creation after all. The yardsticks that we ourselves have enshrined will condemn us to join the mammoths and the Chinese river dolphins in oblivion. Looking back, humanity will turn out to be just a ripple within the cosmic data flow. We cannot really predict the future. All the scenarios outlined in this book should be understood as possibilities rather than prophecies. When we think about the future, our horizons are usually constrained by present-day ideologies and social systems. Democracy encourages us to believe in a democratic future. Capitalism does not allow us to envisage a non-capitalist alternative, and humanism makes it difficult for us to imagine a post-human destiny. At most, we sometimes recycle past events and think about them as alternative futures. For example, 20th century Nazism and communism serve as a blueprint for many dystopian fantasies, and science fiction authors use medieval and ancient legacies to imagine Jedi Knights and galactic emperors fighting it out with spaceships and laser guns. This book traces the origins of our present-day conditioning in order to loosen its grip and enable us to think in far more imaginative ways about our future. Instead of narrowing our horizons by forecasting a single definitive scenario, the book aims to broaden our horizons and make us aware of a much wider spectrum of options. As I have repeatedly emphasized, nobody really knows what the job market, the family, or the ecology will look like in 2050, or what religions, economic systems, or political structures will dominate the world. Yet broadening our horizons can backfire by making us more confused and inactive than before. With so many different scenarios and possibilities, what should we pay attention to? The world is changing faster than ever before, and we are flooded by impossible amounts of data, of ideas and promises and of threats. Humans relinquish authority to the free market, to crowd wisdom, and to external algorithms, partly because they cannot deal with the deluge of data. In the past, censorship worked by blocking the flow of information. In the 21st century, censorship works by flooding people with irrelevant information. People just don't know what to pay attention to, and they often spend their time investigating and debating side issues. In ancient times, having power meant having access to data. Today, having power means knowing what to ignore. So of everything that happens in our chaotic world, what should we focus on? If we think in terms of months, we had probably focused on immediate problems such as the turmoil in the Middle East, the refugee crisis in Europe, and the slowing of the Chinese economy. If we think in terms of decades, then global warming, growing inequality, and the disruption of the job market loom large. Yet if we take the really grand view of life, all other problems and developments are overshadowed by three interlinked processes. Number one, science is converging on an all-encompassing dogma which says that organisms are algorithms and life is data processing. Number two, intelligence is decoupling from consciousness. Number three, non-conscious but highly intelligent algorithms may soon know us better than we know ourselves. These three processes raise three key questions which I hope will stick in your mind long after you finish this book. Number one, are organisms really just algorithms, and is life really just data processing? Number two, what's more valuable, intelligence or consciousness? Number three, what will happen to society, politics, and daily life when non-conscious but highly intelligent algorithms know us better than we know ourselves?